The sermon text this morning from today's gospel reading. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. The words of our text. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus, the Christ of God. Amen. Well, when I looked at our readings for this morning earlier in the week, they scared me. I got a little scared about that. They made me a little bit nervous. Now, why on earth would the Word of God make somebody nervous? I don't understand that. But one of the things is I read them, and I'm looking at them like, these readings seem to be pointed and directed at living out our faith as to only having faith. Okay, now what do I mean by that? There is the faith, right? An objective set of propositions that are held to and trusted as true, such as the world and everything in it was created by God. It was created in 6 days, and on the seventh day God rested. It's created by the God who reveals himself as the triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Three persons and yet one God. And though we were created perfect, our first parents, Adam and Eve, rebelled against God. They sinned against God, and all creation fell in their sin. And ever since then, all people born according to the way of humans that are born with original sin. Like every person has original sin. And in that sin, that first sin, all creation was fractured, all creation was broken and marred, and then by birth, because of this, we are all spiritually blind, dead, and enemies of God. We have sin, which leads us to do sinful acts. To declare us rebels, not guilty, God promised a Savior. The Savior for all of humanity. So all Old Testament believers who trusted in the promise of God that he was going to send a Savior, right, a Christ or Messiah, right, all those believers trusted in God that he is going to send the Savior. And all New Testament believers who trust that God has sent the Savior, has sent the Christ, has sent the Messiah. So all those people in the Old Testament who believed in the Messiah, all the people in the New Testament who believe that God has sent him, they're all Christians. Okay? They're all Christians. And all who believe that Jesus of Nazareth is the one who redeemed us and earned our salvation through his perfect life, death, his undeserved suffering, the shedding of his innocent blood upon the cross, they are all Christians, because that's what Christians believe. The Christian faith also teaches that the purpose of Christ's redemption was to return us to a right relationship with God the Father and to give us the gift of immortality, not just in spirit, but in our bodies also. So our bodies will rise on the last day in the resurrection, and our spirit, the spirit of believers, which has sped to heaven when they die, body and soul will be put together on the day of resurrection, and we will rise from the grave, glorious and immortal, to live forever in the new heavens and the new earth. Right, so the faith teaches that we were all dead in our trespasses and sins, and we are all under God's judgment. And each and every one of us needs to be justified, to be delivered from the powers of hell and the power of the devil, as well as from the fear and the reality of death. Righteousness before God comes in justification by grace through faith on account of the work of Jesus of Nazareth. He is the Christ. And as the Athanasian Creed closes out, this is the Christian faith. Whoever does not believe it faithfully and firmly cannot be saved. So the faith is all those things, that creedal faith that tells us how the world came to be, who the Savior is, and how we you receive the Spirit unto eternal life. Now, that is the faith. Having faith is something a little different. Having faith is the firmly believing all the tenets of Christianity, being able to appropriate them to oneself, and then being able to say, for me. All this is for me. God sent the Savior for me. So having faith is not something like blind faith. Now, we don't just blindly follow the Bible, but there's evidence. The Bible is the evidence of what God says of the faith. The Bible tells us that Jesus came, that he was incarnate by the Holy Spirit, that he was born perfect, that he is the Son of God made flesh, that he is the one who has done all things for us so that we might have his righteousness and we might live forever in the new heavens and the new earth. Having faith is trusting that you are made righteous before God through faith in Jesus Christ and his work on your behalf. Okay, so you've got that. There's the faith. There's having faith. And then comes the third part. When a person has faith, it leads to living a certain way. That was the part that made me nervous, right? Like, it's okay to believe a certain set of propositions, but what? I actually have to live like I believe this? That is a lot more difficult than just saying a person believes it. Right? When one has faith, it leads to a certain way of living. We seek to live lives in response to God's act of justifying us in Jesus Christ. As the apostle wrote, I know of nothing against me, but I am therefore not justified. The life I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. And now, because we are justified through faith in the Son of God, that does not mean that we declare the law of God null and void. Quite to the contrary. As we are Christians, we seek to live out the law of God in our daily lives. With the redeemed, we seek to live as those who trust in God and trust in Jesus for our salvation. We seek to love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind, and to love our neighbors as ourselves. Good trees bear good fruit, and we are to lead moral and godly lives. As Matthias Loy writes in his hymn, The Law of God is Good and Wise, he says, the law of God is good and wise. Its light of holiness imparts the knowledge of our sinful hearts, that we may see our lost estate and turn from sin before too late. To those who help in Christ have found and works of love abound, it shows what deeds are his delight and should be done as good and right. So here's where we run into our readings. Right? The light on the hill. The salt of the earth. This is where we now run into taking the law of God and putting it into action in our own lives. And the works of love that are shown when we run into our readings for the day are pretty obvious, because you look at that Old Testament reading, you look at the Gospel reading, but look at that Old Testament reading especially. What is the prophet, God saying through the prophet? He's saying, look, you people, you're a put on, you're putting on a show. You say you're holy, you say you fast, you fast for a day, maybe two. You put sackcloth and ashes on yourself, and you make a show out of it, and then you punch your neighbor in the nose. And you get angry with each other, and you fight, and you do all of those things. And he says, what kind of fast are you going to have? Clothe the naked. Feed the hungry. Get along with your own family. Take the homeless poor into your own house. Oh, okay, that's a little bit more difficult than I was thinking. That's a little bit harder than saying, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, and so on and so forth. So, you see the way Christianity operates. First God acts, and then we respond to God's action. We want to live a particular way of life in response to what God has done. And so many religious people, so many religions do it the other way around. They get this part wrong. They try and make themselves acceptable to God by doing something. If I do all the right things, if I trip all the right triggers, if I flip all the right switches, then God's going to love me and I'll be acceptable to God and I'll be able to go to heaven. That's not the way it works. We live our lives in response to what God has first done for us. While we were yet sinners, God chose us in Christ. We are justified freely in Christ Jesus, and his righteousness is imputed to us as a gift. We each can say, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and who gave himself up for me. So our life, our living as Christians, being temperate and modest and controlling our anger, being in God's house for worship, honoring our parents, honoring our marriages, working hard in all these areas and aspects of life to keep them holy and pure, right? All of this flows from faith. It all flows from the faith that is given to us by the Holy Spirit. It flows from faith in the Son of God. And it has a certain look to it. It looks like keeping the commandments of God. And we desire to keep them. Is it difficult? Right, it's impossible. But we still desire to keep them. Justified by Christ and out of devotion to God the Father, we seek to do the law. The law of God is good and wise. It sets his will before our eyes and shows us the way of righteousness and dooms to death when we transgress. The law shows us the way of righteousness. As believers in Christ, right, we should first in our lives prioritize the worship of God. That is, have a personal piety, but not just personal piety, because it's not just between you and God. It's between all of us, all of humanity and God. It's being in worship. Fathers, it is you leading your families into all holiness and into all righteousness. It is loving your wife and your children and your neighbor as you love yourself. These are the things that God asks us to do. And we do seek to do good works. We seek to do good works in the sphere of life where God has put you, where you can show love for your neighbor. When I mention that, that scares me. It does. Primarily like, because me, myself, I myself, like the descendants of Israel, I'm worried sometimes that I put on the facade of Christ, facade of trust in God, but bail out of loving my neighbor the way I should love my neighbor. Sometimes I even bail out of loving my neighbor by avoiding my neighbor, going the other way, looking at other things, making excuses. Yet the Word of God before us today gives us the command of the law. The man who fears the Lord, the man who delights in the commandments of God, he deals generously with others. He lends to them without usury. He distributes his wealth freely and gives to the poor. God, through the prophet, tells us to loose the bonds of wickedness and undo the straps of the yoke, to share your bread with the hungry, to bring the homeless poor into your house. That's hard. That is difficult, right? Because we say, whoa, that's a step too far. How do I know I won't get taken advantage of? How do I know I won't get robbed or worse? What if the homeless are that way due to drug-addled brains and they just want money for their next fix? Well, it's true. We must be wise as we think about this. Be as wise as serpents and innocent as doves. We must help where we can and help in the sphere of life that God has given us to do, and do what we're able to do. And yes, we should set realistic boundaries for ourselves. As we get comfortable in those boundaries of helping others out, then we can expand the boundaries of what we're doing. So I don't think we're being told to go out to the streets and invite people into our houses who we don't know and ask them to live in a spare bedroom and we'll just take care of all their bills for them. And no. But we are to help out where we're able to and how we're able to and when and where we can. As the redeemed of God, we ponder what we can do. And we don't want to just have faith. We want to live out the faith in the world. And you know what? Most of us aren't that good at it. It's true. However, in that hymn, "The Law of God is Good and Wise," Matthias Loy ends up by saying this: "To Jesus we for refuge flee, who from the curse has set us free, and humbly worship at his throne, saved by his grace through faith alone. What we are unable to do, God will." In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
And now may that peace which passes all understanding be in your hearts and minds through the one true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Amen. Amen.